Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to American Conservative Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm Bill.
And sliding right in underneath the starting line there, William.
Yes, indeed. Little time
Good
management
evening,
problem.
Everyone. All right. Before we get started, I, this evening, have an opening monologue.
Oh, cool.
It's been a while since I did this,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to make sure that I got all my points clearly articulated. Last Friday, I spent the entire day with my family. My brother, who was in visiting my parents, who I hadn't seen in more than a decade, was on his way out the door. It took him about 4 hours to get the vehicle packed, all the kids loaded up, and the dogs situated before they took off. And quietly, the day progressed after they left. My parents finally quietly in their house, well, not Victoria, PJ, and I were still there, but the house was considerably quieter with them gone. Not that anybody was happy for them to leave. It was sad to see them leave, but quieter. So as a result, I had only checked my email early in the morning to kind of touch bases with what was going on. It wasn't until much later in the evening Friday that I found out that Sarah Palin was going to resign as governor of Alaska. My initial feeling was that something had happened to cause her to pull the trigger. I had not been thinking she was going to do anything prior to last Friday. The ongoing ethics complaints were clearly politically motivated, and I was waiting for the right time to drop a few coins in her bucket for her legal expenses, and I don't think it was quite the right time yet, but it was getting there. 2012 is a long way away, and while I strongly support Sarah Palin, I was going to wait for her to make her own decision. I have learned the hard way that you don't jump on a bandwagon and push a candidate into running. They have to have the fire already there, and you need them to lead. Whatever Sarah Palin decided, when she decided, I would work with that decision. So, like most people, I was surprised. Then I listened to her short announcement, which I take at face value. That's one of the nice things about Sarah Palin. You can pretty much take what she says and count on it. So, she says that her ability to execute her duties has been impaired, and that given the recent past, there was no reason to believe the future was going to get any better. The cost to her, her staff, her administration, the state, and the people of Alaska had reached a point not of diminishing returns, but of no returns. She wasn't leaving the state in a lurch. The lieutenant governor is on board with her agenda. They have worked well together, and he will focus on Alaska and moving their plans forward. I doubt there will even be a single stutter step in the changeover later this month. Alaska gets a governor not being distracted by one set of uncontrollable events, the ethics complaints, nor being distracted by a national stage that stands empty of conservative voice. Now, Sarah Palin is not the leader of the GOP, nor even its voice. The GOP, at least the leadership, the hangers-on, the parasites, want nothing to do with the hick from the sticks. If the left wanted Sarah Palin destroyed, a significant portion of the Republican Party was going to gleefully stand aside and give them room. As many of us have said over the last 18 months, we are conservatives first, and it is clear the GOP is glad to shove us under the bus right next to the upstart from the tundra. I hope that Sarah Palin engages in politics, works with strong conservatives, candidates all over the country. I hope she ignores the pundits, the seers of electoral gloom. And I hope she does not pander to a particular group. Yes, I'm talking about the social conservatives. For the last 2 years, Sarah Palin has kept social issues right where they belong in politics. Out of it. She spoke out for all the conservative issues that rightly belong in the public marketplace of ideas. She has lived all of the social issues, and for that, despite the left's and some of the right's loud attempts to suggest otherwise, she is a model for conservative politicians. Mike Huckabee, are you listening? There have been millions of words written in the last 4 days trying to spell out for all us uninformed what Sarah is doing or not doing, what her chances are or are not, what the future holds for her or doesn't. Frankly, they are a waste of energy. Sarah will, in due time, act according to her principles. I expect nothing less, nothing more. One last word on the hate that is spewing from the left and the right towards Sarah. I'm at a loss to explain the hate. Palin has done nothing to or against the people that are so angry they are showering everyone within 10 feet with spittle. The left is just deranged. However, large chunks of the right are either breathing a sigh of relief that they don't have to worry about their elite IQ will drop if she's the front-running candidate, or kicking and screaming that Sarah Palin destroyed. Yeah, destroyed! Their faith in her. Their faith in conservatives. Their faith in the futures. Not since John Connor has an audience put so much faith in one person that even perfection would fail to live up to it. Sarah Palin resigned from a job that was costing her $25,000 to $40,000 a month in mounting legal bills, caused by nothing more than political hatred. She saves her state, which she has repeatedly said she loves openly, tens if not hundreds of thousands in investigation expenses that are a waste of time in a period of fiscal trauma. She regains the ability to go on the defensive towards those that would attack her and her family personally. Effective July 27th, she is a private citizen. She hunts moose. Consider that fair warning to anyone that thinks a few more stomps for good measure are appropriate. Sarah, if someone by chance gets this show to your ears, know that many conservatives wish you and your family all the best. And if you choose, in good time, to step out and let your voice be heard, this microphone is available. Now, on to other things.
Now, actually, I think I want to chime in there just a little bit on that.
Cool. Go right ahead.
And two things come to mind. I absolutely agree with you that Sarah Palin is a person that you can take what she says as what she said. I don't think that you have to parse it. I don't think that you have to explain it. I think you listen to it and you absorb it. The second thing, as it has to do with the seers and the pundits, none of them predicted that she was going to resign. So how much faith can you have in them now saying, oh, well, now we know what she's up to? Absolutely none. Do not listen to them. Don't pay any attention to them. They are speaking from their ignorance, not from their knowledge.
Or for their own political lusts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would tell you that Sarah Palin gets it, that she connects with the ordinary people that inhabit this land, and she connects very well with them because she is straightforward. She tells you what she is going to do, and then she goes ahead and does that. And that is almost all that any of us want. I can agree to disagree with politicians that tell me I'm going to raise your taxes. Okay, but at least you are honest. You told me, and so now I know what I have to fight. What I cannot abide, what I will no longer tolerate, is any politician that lies to me. And I don't care what side of the aisle they're playing on. If you lie to me, you have made an enemy, and I will do everything that I can to defeat you. Because I will no longer tolerate people lying to me, particularly politicians. And fortunately, that is the least of my concerns about Sarah Palin. That's the end of my rant.
I don't think it's right. I think it's, you know, the reality of the situation. Somebody said, you know, listen, here's a conservative blogger that has handed Sarah Palin her head. And I went, okay, let's find out who this conservative blogger is, because frankly, I probably read them.
Yep.
There's probably 40 or 50 blogs that I read consistently, and between those, every one of those and my own little research, I tend to probably catch the word from about another 50 to 60 of probably the top 200 blogs in the country that are conservative. So I wanted to hear what this conservative blogger had to say to hand Palin on the head. Well, first of all, he's a classical conservative. Everybody knows how I feel about classical conservatives. They're liberals. And second, he's a former congressional aide. Okay?
Oh.
Means he's a beltway person. Okay? Right now, I found out that I got a liberal beltway person being touted as a conservative blogger. Sorry!
Yep.
The first words out of his mouth was, I knew she was never qualified. Duh. Duh. Okay. Dumb moron. I didn't even bother reading. No, I did. I read it all, but I didn't bother putting a post on, a comment on. This just wasn't worth the effort. You know, I don't understand. I've read some pretty interesting comments as far as the idea of what this hate-filled thing is, and it's, you know, a comment that I made. You know, it is amazing what a principled person can do to the unprincipled mind.
Yes.
And it is absolutely stunning how many people hate. I don't mean they don't like her. I don't mean they don't agree with her. Hate. Hate, venomous, spewing, spittle, throwing, hate. I'm like, what has she ever done to you?
Yeah,
what has she
really?
Ever done to this country? You know, I'm sitting there like going, crap, I'd hate to be on your bad side.
Exactly.
You know, and that's from the Republicans.
Yeah.
The obituaries that have been written on Sarah Palin's political career over the last 3 days by Republicans just further reinforce the idea that I am certainly not a Republican.
No.
Certainly not a Republican.
Not
Thank
as it's
God, I don't have to explain to anybody that that's my political party.
Exactly.
So, Sarah Palin, you know, becomes a private citizen, and we shall see what happens in the future.
Absolutely.
A lot of people will, you know, give her time and space, and, you know, whatever she decides to do, hey, I'm perfectly fine by that. You know, she has stated her principles, and so far I've found nothing that suggests that she's not living by them.
Exactly.
I will continue to judge her by them. A lot of crap's been going on elsewise. I mean, there was a whole shitload of tea parties going on over the weekend.
Oh, boy.
Did you get the chance to get to any of them?
I did. I went to the one here in Redding, California.
Cool beans. Tell me.
Had a wonderful time. Met a number of good conservative folks. Picked up a little bit of literature. Joined up with another group, the BostonianTeaParty.com. And if you're in Northern California, give those folks a whirl. There's a program coming up on the 17th, I believe, if anybody remembers Sheriff Mack. And if you don't remember Sheriff Mack, the quick story is he is the guy who sued the federal government over the Brady Bill and got it ruled unconstitutional in terms of forcing sheriffs to bear the cost of that program. And I understand that he's going to give a stem winder Don't think that I'm going to be making that, but I will obviously be talking to some folks that, that do make it, and so I'll get the lowdown on it, and if it is of sufficient import, we'll talk about it on the show. But it was a good day. Lots of people. There were probably, in the 3 hours that I was there, there was probably about 200 people. It had started before I got there, and it continued on through the evening. So it's anybody's guess as to how many folks were there, but it was a constantly shifting and changing population of people that simply showed up, and some in costume, some with signs, and all of them saying, you know, we really do have to get together. We really do have to call and talk to and fax our Congress critters and our senators over basically cap and tax, card choice, and health care. And those were the big topics of conversation.
It seems to me, based on what I have read as far as the Tea Parties are concerned, of course, the mainstream media went out of its way to completely ignore them.
Oh, absolutely.
Despite, you know, it appears to have been about a doubling of the April 15th size as far as numbers are concerned.
Cool.
My general opinion is things are getting a little bit better organized. I think we're still at a point where we're dealing with, you know, 1,500 organizations that are repeating lots and lots of things. I don't know that that's necessarily bad. It is certainly grassroots. It is certainly very local-oriented. And I'm much more interested in letting it stay that way if we can do some kind of information tunneling between the groups.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want... There's going to be a uniformity in what's being said because our principles demand a specific response.
Right.
And the response is going to be pretty consistently across the board. But there can be a certain amount of information sharing that makes the process easier for the functional level, the organizational level. But at the operational level, the people that are talking to people and getting people to do things, I'd like to see that continue to actually stay as diversely organized as possible.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. And if you think about it for a little bit, that's exactly where it needs to be. The big thrust needs to be taking over the House in 2010. You only do that locally within those districts. So those Tea Parties and Tea Partiers that are in a specific congressional district need to be communicating with one another so that they are effective in getting a conservative elected as opposed to either a rhino or a liberal. And that is much easier to do than to try to immediately affect on a national scale, national policy. Because if you control the House, you have a partial control of the policy.
Yeah, I'm continuing to watch, and I'm not necessarily involved with them, mostly for personal reasons rather than, you know, political or principled reasons. But I'm, you know, I certainly support the ideas.
Yep.
And the general idea of what the Tea Parties represent is absolutely conservative in there. I am concerned a little bit of hijacking that the Paulians seem to be attempting to do. I didn't hear as much of an issue this time around as I did after April 15th.
No.
Maybe they got a little bit of their hat handed to them.
Oh, I think.
And that will be there. I didn't listen to, I saw in multiple places Conyers getting up in Texas and heard that a certain amount of people were displeased with him.
Actually,
I didn't listen to.
It was both Connors and Cornyn.
Yeah, I, as it stands right now, I'm not seeing a whole lot of leadership from a conservative point of view in either the House or the Senate, even though now would be the perfect time for them to be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, because
they have
because
nothing
they
to lose.
They concentrate on the Beltway. And let me tell you, I think that is a gross misreading of the sentiment in this country. I think if they paid attention to the flyover states and the conservatives there, they would then have a chance to get it.
You know, somebody said that to me. They said it to me. They said, you know, Palin appeals to the Joe Sixpack mentality. And I'm like, yeah, that seems to be about, 60% of the population. He goes, well, not all of us are, take that Joe Sixpack and think that that's a good thing. I'm going like, that makes you a Republican. Bye.
Yeah, right.
I said, most of the people that I know, like the idea of being called Joe Sixpack. Now, I don't like beer too much, very much, but I don't mind somebody calling me, I do mind calling Joe.
Jane Sixpack.
Yeah, Jane Sixpack. Unless you're a creditor, and then when you call, I want you to think that I'm the meanest son of a bitch you've ever met.
Yeah.
So that's fine. And it absolutely fit in with this elitist IQ crap, you have to be a moron to be a conservative. If you're not a conservative, you probably are a moron.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I'm not too big into name calling. Who me? So, anyways,
there's a pretty famous saying about that, and I've heard it ascribed to various people, but it goes something along the lines of, if you aren't a liberal by the time you're in your 30s, you don't have a heart, and if you aren't a conservative by the time you're in your 40s, you don't have a brain.
Right, when you have more time than money, be an activist. When you have more money than time, you want to conserve both.
Yep. Absolutely.
Now I don't like that definition of conserve. I'm not a big fan of that particular point. But you're right. This entire idea that, when you have something to lose, what you want to do is prevent government from taking more of it. How is somebody else that said that to me? Well, we have to share. And I'm like, bullshit.
Yeah, right.
I decide when I share, who I share with, and how much I share.
Exactly.
We can share the freedoms, we can share this country, but if you think you're going to share my paycheck, no. Get out of Dodge.
Go get your own paycheck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Right.
He said, well, it must be nice, being in that ivory tower all by yourself. And I'm like, ivory tower?
Mm.
Are you talking about? Yeah, look, if you're not working because you got laid off in this new economy, I'm really sorry for you.
I am, yep.
If whatever I can do to help, let me know. I'll do what I can. I can't
right.
do tons, but, I'll do what I can.
Right.
However, if you've been sitting on your ass for the last 7 years, sucking at the tit of the government,
not
screw
so
you.
Much.
Screw you. And there's lots of talk about, what is going to happen with my nephew? He's 16. What is he going to do at this point? Is he going to let this event turn him into a welfare baby, a whining sack of crap, wanders around the rest of his life, asking for handouts? Or is he going to, pick up the pieces, and put something down on paper and, make something?
Right.
This type of event does one of those two things to people, and I don't know where he's going to go. Don't know. I don't know him well enough. I know his, his existence. I know his father. I know my sister. I know what he's grown up dealing with and such. But I don't know him well enough to know which way it's going to happen, and probably he doesn't either. At 16, you know, it's kind of hard to tell. But it's certainly a situation that will bear paying attention to.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Barack Obama informed everybody that he could work with the president of Russia.
Oh, really?
Apparently, he can work with the president of Venezuela and
yep.
the president of Honduras and the president of Cuba and the president of Iran. Apparently, he can work with all of them pretty good, but, you know, the leaders of Germany and England, Israel, not so well.
Not so much. Nope.
Okay.
There's a pattern there, by the way.
This is going to sound racist. It is. And I've tried to try and figure out some way to do the same thing and not make it sound that way. And I don't know that I can. Maybe it won't be that way. But you know what? Barack Obama is a negative picture of a president. Everything that we would expect in the president of the United States, he is the photographic negative of.
Yes. Absolutely.
And it's,
I mean, it's like an X-ray. The dark things, the solid things, are light. And the light things, which are not much, tissue and that kind of thing, are light. He's just the mirror image.
My mother noted that in the newspaper, they talked about the fact that how many trips did the first ladies go on? And Michelle Obama has gone on more trips than all of them, except for
brain fade. I would
Bush's
guess Nancy
wife.
Reagan maybe, but I don't know that.
But you know, she's exceeded all of them at this point, except with the exception of George Bush's wife. But that was two terms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's well on her way to doing that. She's gone on more trips than any of the other ones. Now, I don't begrudge the fact that she's going with him. Don't. I think that's fine.
Although you got to wonder what's happening with the kids, but oh well.
No, you know what? I'm not even thinking at that level. You know, in a couple relationship, especially one that's well developed and strong, the two of them work as a team. You know, a lot of people have said, you know, the two-for-one thing with, you
with
know, Bill and Hillary Clinton. I didn't think that was a bad thing, frankly. You know, a good working relationship and a husband and wife is a good working relationship. It helps give, I think, a certain amount of stability because you guys need it.
Oh, yeah.
Frankly. You know, and... You know, I think it gives us a certain amount of confidence in your decision making when we see and understand it in practice. You know, and so I think it's a positive thing that you know she's there. If I thought she was actually a stabilizing influence,
well, there is that question too. Yes,
and I'm not so certain that. She's in fact a positive influence on him. So that worries me a little bit. And then about, of course, you know, the fact of the matter is that he seems to be getting along really well with all the wrong people.
And there is a pattern there.
Yeah, there is.
He sides with Iran. At least in terms of not expressing something more than deep regrets or whatever it was.
Why is Iran the only country he can't meddle in?
You know, there's all kinds of stories floating around about why, and I really don't want to get into that whole Muslim non-Muslim thing. I just note that no, I can't meddle there. No, I can't meddle in Venezuela. Hugo Chavez is my buddy. I can work with him. We really need to open up the Cuba-U.S. relationship, and we need to let people go back and forth, et cetera, et cetera. But if you will note, all of the people that he is saying, you know, we really need to be talking to these, all of them are dictators.
Or wannabes.
The one country that he thinks it's perfectly fine to meddle in is a democracy that followed their own constitution in getting rid of their president.
Well, that's where their mistake is.
Well,
he doesn't follow the constitution. Why should anybody else?
Well, that's true. I mean, after all, that is a dated and outmoded document. So I think the pattern is more than interesting. I don't know how many others he can decide that, oh yeah, we're best buddies with before that becomes.
I'm waiting for him to show up in Pyongyang.
Oh boy!
Surprise visit! Surprise! Hi!
Hi!
First of all, they probably try to shoot the plane down.
Oh, I would think.
That wouldn't be such a great idea. But,
no.
You know, I almost wouldn't, you know, I would suggest to you that I want Barack Obama to see if he can visit all, is it 196 countries? I would like to see if he and Michelle could visit, let's say, 100 countries this year.
Oh, I think that's a grand idea.
It's a grand idea. He can go, and then Joe Biden can keep in charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him, Rob Emanuel, between the two of them, we should have a grand old time around here.
Well, with Joe at least we will. Rom, I don't know. He's a hard guy to read. I don't know how much of his is pure pragmatic politics and how much of anything he's got in terms of a principle that he's trying to follow.
You know what? You know what I would pay money for?
Hmm.
I would pay money. And it doesn't have to be literally. I would pay to figuratively see Rob Emanuel get slapped. You know, I would just like to see the look on his face to get a literal, a figurative slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I can see spittle
mm-hmm.
in that regard. You
yep.
know, I can actually see that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd pay for that. I'd give at least as much as they gave for Michael Jackson tickets today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Which,
I managed
not to see
you know,
any of.
I managed that also.
I managed to see absolutely none of Michael Jackson's things going on today. I have heard none of what went on today.
The only thing I heard was on Twitter.
Didn't even do that. I spent all day working on client stuff today.
Good.
Running, doing a little bit of running around. I've been buried in the books.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
You know, and then actually getting ready for today. So, you know, I didn't pay any attention to it. I will say this. I really, really, really liked Michael Jackson's music.
Really? Okay.
And seeing how he hasn't been producing much in the last 10 or 15 years,
yeah.
No great loss on my part.
Exactly.
So,
and that body of work is still there. You can trot it out whenever it strikes your fancy.
We did. I actually went down to YouTube the night he died, and we all sat around and watched Michael Jackson videos with
mm-hmm.
CJ going, I heard that music before. I've heard that music before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
that was fun. So, I want to go back to this issue with Russia. Because I don't think anybody in their right mind thinks that Putin is, you know, second fiddle in that country.
Oh, no.
And I did hear suggestions that Putin said that that he really appreciated Bush's hospitality.
Yes.
With Obama. You know, and I'm trying to think, okay, now, I'm from the south side of Chicago. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And basically speaking, Barack Obama likes to pretend he's from the south side of Chicago. Okay? So I actually have a pretty good idea of what south side Chicago hospitality would be. And comparing that kind of hospitality to George Bush's ranch hospitality, I don't think Putin would actually like it very much. No. Now, I happen to like Chicago cooking, but I don't think he'd take to that a whole lot. You know, CJ
probably
mentioned,
not.
CJ said, why do people in Chicago all sit out on their porches and steps and talk all the time? And I said, they're not porches and steps. They're stoops.
Yes.
We all go out on the stoop.
Yep.
You know, I said, that's a Chicago thing. I said, I don't know if other big cities have it. I've said, I've seen some indications that parts of New York City do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a big city type thing, but I lived out in the L.A. area and didn't see it happening. You know, but it is, in fact, a neighborhood thing in Chicago. And I just can't imagine Putin sitting on the stoop with Barack Obama in Hyde Park. I just can't.
It just goes,
yeah, no.
Nah, that probably isn't going to happen.
It's just, you know, Barack Obama is going to welcome. That's it! Crap, that's it!
What's that?
Oh, why does he treat so many people so bad coming to this country? He doesn't know how to be hospitable. Because Chicago hospitality is not conducive to elitist-type, you know, shindigs. It's just not. It's not the cocktail, you know, crowd. Chicago hospitality is not, you know, fine wine and fine food.
So you're suggesting that he has not learned the social niceties.
If he's learned Chicago hospitality, then people better get used to the idea of licking their fingers and smacking on a can of beer. And, you know, he's in different circles now. That kind of stuff is not looked at. Oh, think about that. We've been talking about the fact that he's way in over his head. He is so far out of his element, if that's even remotely true. I can't imagine that he understands how to be a host, how to be a head of state host.
He may not.
You know, and their idea that George Bush would bring them down to the ranch, you know, and have them wear blue jeans and T-shirts and, you know, flannel shirts and hats and stuff like that, you know, which people just gave him all kinds of crap about.
Oh, yeah.
But it was
major
certainly
crap.
Authentic, and it was certain, and you can certainly in that environment, you know, still be quite formal, despite people who have no idea about Texas hospitality.
Exactly.
You know, that's, you... Have you never seen a hoedown formal? Hey, man.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, you know, it can be... It's not, but Chicago hospitality, man, that's stoop sitting, beer drinking, barbecue eating, you know, hanging in the hood. Oh, man. Barack Obama doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know how to do it.
Probably not.
Ah,
which really does kind of tie in with reports from... when he was in school in Hawaii, private school, and he was described as aloof and a loner.
Many years ago, I worked for a company in Chicago, and the owner of the company had, because of his company and the clientele he did, he ran in extremely expensive circles.
Mm-hmm.
However, he never, as best I could ever tell, and after watching for 2.5 years around clients and customers and the clients of clients, he never considered himself anything more than an employee. You know, he was not the equivalent of his clientele. But when he hosted and I was able to attend several social functions as a member of his staff that he hosted, he was the consummate host. I like giving parties, and people like coming to my parties. People have fun at my parties, okay? He shamed me.
Really?
You know, he was incredibly gracious, incredibly good host. I could probably attend his functions for 10 years and continue to learn through every single one of them how to be a better host. An amazing gentleman. His name is Mike Bell. He has a company in Chicago called Mike Bell Imports. The man was... I respect him greatly as a boss, as a gentleman, as a host. He was just, as a businessman, it was just, you know, an incredible all-around guy. Barack Obama couldn't be a waiter in his parties. He lacks every ounce of what it takes to be a host. And I've not seen Michelle Obama indicate that she's any better at it.
No, clearly not. You know, you may have hit on something here. Because the more I think about it as we sit here and talk about it, and I put that together with the things that I heard about his high school times, and I think about the haughty pose that he invariably takes almost entirely. And you couple that with what he came out of, and he may very well not know, he may very well be ignorant of how do you deal with people in a social setting. And if you stop and think about it, regardless of the matters that you're talking about in diplomacy or one-on-one meetings with other heads of states and whatever, they are still people. And yes, you're circumscribed in what you can say and what you can't say because obviously you're the policymaker. On the other hand, social niceties are there to lubricate the interaction. And if he doesn't know how to do that, then he's way over his head. I mean, if he doesn't know how to do that, then he doesn't have a clue as to how you go about putting forth your positions in a way that, one, doesn't offend your either your host or your guest, depending on whose function it is. And it also means that he is not going to be an effective communicator in terms of what is his interest and how does he go about accomplishing that.
Yeah, that one-to-one interaction is, you know...
critical.
Think about, you know, I certainly have always been of the mind that protocol, when heads of state meet, is left to a department in the State Department that spends their entire lives, you know, knowing exactly how many tines of the fork that should be pointing to the north.
Yep.
You know, but at the same token, when I think about it, it is those little gifts that are given by heads of state to each other are probably you know, if they're done well, very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think of some of the things that Barack Obama has received, it clearly shows the personality and the character of the giver.
And the thought that went into it.
And the thought that went in, yeah, the quality
yeah.
of the person, the thought that went into it.
Yes.
And in comparison,
yes,
the absolute plastic, useless, hollow, you know, insulting crap that he's doing, you know, to others.
Yes.
You know, it's he's getting along with the thugs because the thugs are not interested in, you know, being polite. So he
no.
can be, that, you know, the hood rat
mm-hmm.
with them, and, you know, they're not going to be insulted with it because they're hood rats themselves.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Yep.
I feel like Horshack in, you know, Welcome Back, Hunter.
Yeah, right.
You know? Oh, the man is so in over his head.
Oh, man. Well, and it's apparent in the actions that he's taken. And it's apparent in the people that he has surrounded himself with. Something on Twitter today, and I don't know if it's true, so I'll just throw it out there, and it's what was said on Twitter. But he now has 31 czars, apparently. He just apparently appointed somebody as a health choices czar, whatever
okay,
the heck that
what,
might be.
You know what? Stop.
Yes.
Stop calling them czars. That's it. What
okay.
they are is they're gang lieutenants.
Well, that's true. That's true.
That's what they're. They're gang lieutenants.
Without any accountability
to
Congress.
Right. They're lieutenants in the Obama gang.
Yep. Maybe that's a useful way to think of him. We can't think of him as an organized party. We need to think of him as a gang, like we think of MS-13 and the Bloods and the Crips.
Ooh, wait a second. Are we stepping in a place here that people are going to be offended? Good! Let's do
okay.
more of it!
Yeah. If they're offended because of that analogy, please turn your computer off. I don't want you listening.
And you know what? Hey, you know what? You know, if you're from Chicago, this shouldn't offend you at all.
Exactly.
You know, if you understand Chicago politics, this is not going to offend you at all. This is Chicago politics. He is absolutely playing the Chicago politics game, and he is playing it from the Chicago neighborhoods, the
mm-hmm.
way it's done there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, frankly,
mm-hmm.
there's no niceties about it.
No.
And, you know, this entire idea, you know, somebody said in their discussion about Sarah Palin, is
mm-hmm.
when it comes right down to it, every accusation leveled towards Sarah Palin was wrong. But it applies exactly to Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Every accusation applied to Sarah Palin is a lie. It's wrong, but it absolutely applies to Barack Obama. And this man hasn't got a clue. But I won, and I'm in charge, and this
yep.
is the way we're going to do it.
Yep. And incidentally, just as an offshoot of that comment, I have recently, over the last couple of days, decided to embark on a little project. And my project is I am going, or attempting to go, state by state, and compiling a compendium of each state's ethics laws and regulations.
Okay.
Now, one would think that would be easy. One would think wrong. I have been to the various Secretary of States of these United States and gotten nothing. I am now started on the Attorney General's websites of each of the states. And out of four that I have gotten to so far and thoroughly looked at, I have found nothing. One would almost think that there is a concerted effort to make sure that nobody knows what those rules and regulations are.
You're not looking in the right place.
I apparently am not.
Look in the departments that deal with elections.
Well, that's under the Secretaries of States, and there's an election department, and I have investigated those.
Okay.
And I'm sure not finding the references. They do
as
not
far as I know,
easy.
Yeah, no, and that's why they have attorneys.
Apparently.
Because unless you have a legal opinion, you don't know if you're ethical or not.
Yeah, right. Okay. But as long as you've got that legal opinion, it doesn't matter what you do, you're ethical.
Well, let's just say that you're safe.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know about how ethical you might be, but you'd probably be safe from jail.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting, seeing as how we brought up the ethics thing.
I'm going to have to let that sit and stew for a while and
mm-hmm.
and see how that plays out. But it probably explains to me, at least for me, a whole lot of Barack Obama.
It is certainly consistent.
And it would certainly fit into the idea of somebody that is really has an incredibly low opinion of themselves.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, I have heard him described as a number of things from a psychological point of view, and low self-esteem was one of the milder diagnoses.
All right, let's talk about healthcare for a few minutes.
Okay, healthcare.
Because I have a finishing monologue too, and we have 7 minutes according to my switchboard here.
Okay.
Kevin is spending, I think we don't know exactly, but I think the number is somewhere in the vicinity of about $5,000 a day in his care right now,
mm-hmm.
when he doesn't have surgery. On days that he doesn't have surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had 12 or 13 so far.
Oh, boy.
The leg was amputated last Wednesday
mm-hmm.
below the knee, nicely.
Mm-hmm.
They actually found more muscle tissue and skin tissue than they had hoped, which is
good.
A good thing.
Yes.
It does appear that they will be able. They have surgery on Thursday scheduled to close the leg up and begin the process of fitting him for a prosthesis.
Excellent.
Which I think is really fast. But
oh,
you know,
yeah.
If everything works fine, that's great. There has been some issues. I'm not even going to get into what happened yesterday because my sister, she can't catch a break for nothing.
Okay.
Nothing horrible, nightmarish. Okay, her husband got hit by a car on his bicycle yesterday.
Oh, God.
Okay. Now, this, it's almost funny. First of all, he got up and walked away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But when I tell you what hit him, you're just going to go, I don't believe it. Okay? A cop car hit him.
Oh, God.
And the cop didn't report it.
Oh, no.
Okay, there's all kinds of interesting sides on there. He's basically okay, but it's going to be rather interesting. Like I said, they can't catch a break for nothing.
No, they can't.
Kevin is doing well. So as well as can be expected, things are continuing to progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my
good.
Sister's life is just amazing, and her employer is bending over backwards for her. I mean,
good.
The story of my sister and her employers, they have fired a whole company to keep my sister.
Wow.
You know, this company, it's literally done that. He is spending probably around, they're spending about $5,000 a day on his care, not including the surgeries, which can easily run in the $50,000 range.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Victoria has been spending you know, we're at a much lower level at this point. We're probably still spending about $1,000 a month on her active medical care on her wound.
Mm-hmm.
And that number is approaching $100,000 in the last 17 months.
Wow.
You know, we understand medical expenses. Understand it. And what benefit to families like ours that a single-payer system would bring? It would end this, you know, we're deeply in debt because of medical bills, but we're dealing with them.
Mm-hmm.
My sister is going to be deeply in medical bills because, you know, my nephew did this to himself, and, you know, auto insurance is going to run out long before he's done.
Exactly.
And she's working with the hospitals and the doctors and stuff like that to get that stuff straightened out, and they will deal with it too. You know, we both families will have medical debt for a decade or more at this
mm-hmm.
point. But we're dealing with it, and they're dealing and they're working with us. So we understand the benefits of that. The downside is, you know, would the doctors be treating Victoria or Kevin differently in a single-payer system? And the answer is absolutely.
Oh, of course.
They would be trying to nickel and dime both processes to death.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
That is the place that most people don't understand things.
And, in fact, there could be a question as to whether they would treat V or not.
Correct. Absolutely. Victoria has enough significant issues, and she's old enough that there might be a question as to about whether they would do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly. Kevin is a different story. I mean, he's young enough that he can be productive and contribute to the greater good.
Yeah. I've been in some arguments recently about things, and that is the place where the people that are for single payer fail to understand what's going to go on. All right, you got anything to say? Because we got 2 minutes left, and it's going to take a minute and 30 seconds for me to finish.
Cool. Okay. Just my usual shout out to my conservative talk buds, and to Arkansas Traveler there on Twitter. Hope you were able to listen in. And go ahead, give us your best shot on your closing monologue there.
Last word tonight. Barack Obama and the liberal left want to tell us we have an obligation towards others, and that to fulfill that obligation, the government must be used because there is no other way. They will tell anyone that will listen that they will accept all suggestions for other ways to accomplish their goals, but unless it ends with government with more power, they're not really going to listen. Conservatives know in their souls that the individual rights that are the cornerstone of this country are under direct assault by Obama, and the last thing he or the left want is the ability of the average American to make their own choices. What choices they will offer is exactly the same choices offered the Iranians: a hand-chosen, limited, and approved selection. Freedom is messy. Liberty does not mean the same thing to you that it does to me. You might like to go hunting. I might like to go golfing. Unless and until conservatives understand that restrictions on liberty and freedom for any reason, supported or enforced by the state or society, we will be compromised in our principles. The freedom to fail, to make mistakes, to act in ways we don't agree with are as fundamental to our principles as is the freedom to pursue what makes us individually happy. Live your conservatism. Stand for your principles. And conservatism will rise again to run and support this country. Bill,
Tracy.
Have a good week.
You too, Tracy.
See you next week on Weekly Conservative Talk. Done.
Cool. Very good. I like that closing one. That was good.
I was in a mood today.
Yeah, no.
In a mood today. So, all right.
Mm-hmm.
So the cop didn't report it.
Yeah.
My sister called my brother-in-law and said, "Get home fast. Kevin's going into emergency surgery."
Mm.
He rode his bicycle about 4 blocks from where the gym where he was working out to the house. The cop car just pulled out and just knocked him flying and then drove over the bicycle.
Mm.
Jim picked up the bike and took off with it, and he said, I'm fine, I gotta go, I gotta get up to the hospital. And the cop said, "I'll put a report at your house." And he said, fine. He got to the house, threw the bike into the garage. My sister just pulled up. She goes, "What happened to you?" He goes, "I'll tell you later." He got in the car, and they went up to the hospital. They got up there by then. Kevin had already gone into surgery. The sponge on his full leg had burst, and the pump had failed, so they had to get in and get the sponge out and, you know, clean up the wound and stuff like that right away. They couldn't let it sit for any length of time.
Exactly.
While they were standing there talking to the staff, they said, "What's wrong with you?" Because my brother-in-law was standing weird. He goes, "Well, I kind of got hit by a car." So they took him down to the emergency room, started giving him x-rays, and the staff said, "We need a copy of the police report." So my sister called the precinct to ask that a copy of the police report be sent up to the hospital. And they said, "What police report?" And she told them what had happened, and they said, "We're sending somebody there." So my sister was dealing with, you know, my brother-in-law in the emergency room, and two cops came walking in and wanted to hear the story. And so my brother-in-law recounted the story. My sister, they wanted to know why they were there, and they said, my nephew's upstairs in emergency surgery. You know, my son's up in emergency surgery upstairs. And at that point, they called my sister back up to the main floor because the trauma surgeons were coming out of surgery. So she went up, and the two cops stayed with my brother-in-law down in the emergency room. And while the trauma team was there, a sergeant showed up and talked to my sister for a second, said, "Where is your husband?" And she goes, "He's down in the emergency room." And then she started talking to the trauma team. The sergeant just stood off to the side. And while the trauma team was talking to my sister about what was going on and such, the elevator opened and, you know, out came Jim in a wheelchair with an IV bag and, you know, two cops and two nurses in attendance.
Oh my God.
The sergeant started asking questions. He goes, "Look, you really don't want me talking right now because I'm feeling no pain whatsoever." You know, come back and see me like when I'm not flying higher than the top of the Sears building. So they load him up on morphine because his back got screwed up, and his back is, he has pins and plates in his back because he has spinal degeneration. So back is not a good thing to get screwed up.
No, it isn't.
Anyways, the sergeant brought a police report for the hospital to have, and then informed them that the bike would be taken care of. To make all this matters worse, as they were going up to the hospital, the car broke down.
Oh, God.
They had to get a cab to get to the rest of the way to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
You know, I said, my sister can't catch a break.
No, I guess not.
Cannot catch a break.
Jesus.
So, you know, some friends have given them a car. The community services, the hospital, and the doctors are all working with her as far as Kevin's bills are concerned.
Sure.
And now the city of Chicago is in deep shit because one of their cars ran over a bicyclist and drove away. Hit and run.
Yep.
Hit and run.
Yep.
You know, and so apparently that cop is in loads of shit.
Oh, I would
trouble
think.
For it.
I would think.
And, you know, it's just, you sit there and you kind of go, holy Christ.
Yeah,
how much
really.
How much more can happen?
Oh, no,
then
don't
you worry
say that.
That. Yeah, then you worry that, you don't want to actually
let, say
let, something
let
like
me
that.
Show you. Oh, my God.
So
first off, is your brother-in-law going to be okay? I mean, or do they know yet?
Well, you know, the adjuster for Allstate in my accident called me today and asked me how things are going. I said, I'm going to the doctor on Thursday because my shoulder, every morning I wake up, it's stiff and sore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like right now, here we
yeah.
are, 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. Nothing's wrong. It, feels fine. But
mm-hmm.
tomorrow morning I'll wake up, my neck and my shoulder will be sore. And, I want them to make sure that there's nothing,
right.
Wrong. It's just, it's just going to take some time to heal right.
Right.
So he goes, well, I'll check back with you. The car adjuster, our insurance company totaled the car.
Yep.
Their insurance adjuster said, no, what the hell is that?
I give up.
I think an owl just got a rabbit.
Oh, ho, ho.
That's what it sounds like. Or the hawk got one.
If it's dark, it's a little late for hawks.
Yeah, I'm being inclined. We've got two huge barn owls in our area. And first time I saw one, I went, Christ, that's the bald eagle. I went, oh,
nope.
Not the bald eagle.
Yeah.
So, anyways, there was, that's rather interesting. Okay. The, their insurance adjuster, so totaling it was $6,000 worth of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Their insurance adjuster said, $3,000, we can get it all fixed. And I'm sitting there going, I wanted to fix my bumper that has a tear in it, and it was
mm-hmm.
$1,200.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to replace the whole front end of this car, and you're saying $3,000. That's nuts. Anyways, Victoria wanted me to just tell our insurance company to total it and then subrogate to Allstate. And I said, no, let Allstate, get its chance. I figured once it got to the shop and the shop did a more thorough examination, they'd come up with a more reasonable number.
Sure.
Well, their more reasonable number is $5,500.
Mm-hmm.
Which puts it really close. And then I asked the guy at the shop who called me this morning to say that they had a final number. I said, what about my door? He goes, what about your door? Everything works fine. I said, the window popped out of the grommet and the control panel for the windows
mm-hmm.
popped out of the door handle. Now, the door window wouldn't work and the door locks wouldn't work until I shoved the panel back down into the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked, and the window went up and down.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but that doesn't mean the door is working. I said,
right.
It's obvious that the thing got, the thing got bent. It got flexed.
Right.
I said, that door needs to be, either replace it or make sure that it's been aligned and everything's fine because, it's not going to be airtight at this point.
Right.
It might be off by only a 16th or, an eighth of an inch, but it's bent. And it's going to get worse as time goes on. He goes, well, we've checked it and everything's fine. I'm like, nah.
No.
I said, if you won't even take that in consideration, I said, what about the steering wheel? Steering wheel's fine. I said, it doesn't lock anymore. Oh, you have a locking steering wheel?
Yeah.
All steering wheels lock now. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I noticed that.
So he goes, well, we'll double check that again. Anyways. Allstate is sending out their adjuster in the next couple of days to reevaluate.
Mm-hmm.
And all they have to do is come up with another $400 and, you know, they total the vehicle.
Right.
You know, and I talked to the guy and said, look, you know, I know you're going to pay off the vehicle if it gets totaled, but, you know, 3 weeks ago I was driving my car and now I'm not going to be driving my car. He goes, well,
right.
You had an accident and, you know, we all end up suffering for those things. And I'm like, no.
It's why I pay premiums.
No. I'm not going to be satisfied with the fact that, you know, I don't have a car payment anymore. Yay! I don't have a car!
Exactly.
You know, so somebody's going to replace the car. Well, we just pay off, you know, we just pay off the value of it. No. You know, you're going to replace my car. And I'm going to expect that the vehicle is going to get totaled, and you're still going to replace my car.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because I'm not going to be without a car, and for you to throw up in your hand and say, well, you don't have a loan anymore, and think that that's all that's necessary, it ain't going to happen. Your client caused me to be carless. Your client is going to replace car. Well, that's not how it works. Oh, yeah, it does. My partner is an attorney, and I can tell you that's how it's going to happen. He goes, well, you know, we'll have to see how things work out. And I'm like,
okay.
Fine. Go right ahead. So, anyways, you know, it's been a rather interesting couple of weeks.
Boy, it
I may have a
crazy.
New client.
Oh, really?
I may have a new client, yes.
Oh,
someone called me out of the blue for my advertising I did at the conference back at the end of May.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But she wanted to know if I could do 15 cases this week.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, no.
No, I can't.
Like, no. I
said, I'd love to be able to, but no, I can't.
You know, I can probably get 10 to 12 done by the end of the weekend, and I might be able to get you 7 by Friday, you know, in time for appointments for people to come in and sign their paperwork on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's
mm-hmm.
about the best I can do. I said, you know, 3 to 4 cases a day is about my limit. I said, and today and tomorrow are already spoken for.
Right.
So I'll do the best I can to get as many of them done as possible, but, you know, if you're looking for somebody to be able to do them in the next 3 or 4 days, then it's not going to happen. You know, and I doubt anybody that does it can do that.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, so we talked for about 45 minutes. I mean, I might get her as a client.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. And negotiation on the office is continuing.
Oh.
Not as well as we would like.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually coming up here on Thursday and Friday to start going through files. You know, and I expect there will be a fair amount of horse trading going on in person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem.
Mm.
CJ's registration for school
mm-hmm.
is August 7th.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Even if we come to an agreement on this office by Friday,
mm-hmm.
we can't put all the finances and paperwork together before the end of the month.
Man, oh, man.
We don't, you know, we cannot pack this house, drive out to California, find a place to live in 6 days.
No, that's not realistic. Hmm. So what
and
are you going to do?
I know, but my parents gave Victoria 9 miles of shit this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they are really unhappy with this move, and they made their opinion known in no uncertain terms.
Oh, boy. Because you're moving away?
You know, there's a certain amount of selfishness on their part, and they acknowledge it,
mm-hmm.
about me moving away,
mm-hmm.
And also about CJ moving away, but they think that it's really a bad idea for CJ.
Really?
You know, they don't want her moved. They think it's wrong to move her in the middle of her schooling.
Well.
So.
You
know, and, you know, last night Victoria and I talked about it, and I, you know, she said, you know, we're doing the same thing my parents did. I said, and you think your parents did the right thing? She goes, absolutely not, but they didn't listen to me. I said, so after your experience with your parents moving you between eighth grade and high school, knowing that it was wrong and how bad it was, you're going to do it to your daughter? Well, they didn't listen to me. Why should I listen to her?
Like,
you know? I said, you know, because we try to do better.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, come on. I went to two different grade schools, two different junior highs, and two different high schools. And I didn't turn out so bad.
I went to two. I did kindergarten and first grade in one, and then I did second through eighth grade in one school, and then I did all 4 years of high school in my high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the high school that was sequenced with the elementary school I went to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people that I was in elementary school went to the same high school that I did.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So the ones that went to public school, the ones that went to private high schools, you know, obviously they went elsewhere, but...
Right.
But they were still in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Victoria went to, like, seven different schools growing up.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm not that concerned with the switch from elementary school to high school.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, this is the place to change if the change is going to happen.
Exactly.
But you know CJ has sun poisoning, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, after my brother left, we were doing a bunch of driving around, doing stuff, and CJ was with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't, you know, we didn't spend time outside, but we were in the car. It was a bright, sunny day. She reignited it.
Oh, boy.
So it was a bad 2 days down in Chicago on Saturday and Sunday trying to get
mm-hmm.
her, you know, back calmed down again.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We're literally pouring in Benadryl into her at this point.
Oh, boy.
Try and keep the itches down. You know, mm-hmm. so we're putting her out into California where it's almost impossible not to be in the sun.
And is that something that's, like, cumulative so that you're always more susceptible to it once that's happened?
Yes, it can be.
Okay.
If we can minimize it at this point and get her through most of the winter without a whole lot of problems,
mm-hmm.
We might be able to reintroduce her to sun slowly in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And see how she takes it. Otherwise, we have to wait another year.
Hmm.
You can reintroduce someone that's had sun poisoning back into the sun, but it has to be done carefully, and you need to get a long period of time in between the exposures.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that concerns me a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
But I told Victoria, I said, look, you know, both of us, you know, I don't know why you care what my parents think.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't care what I think. You don't care what CJ thinks. I don't know why you're caring what my parents think. You know, and CJ and I have both signed on to this. So what's the problem? So
maybe she's just getting cold feet about leaving an area that she knows and likes.
I think every time she thinks about that, she thinks about winter.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, winters have got to be brutal up there. I mean, they just do.
Yeah, you know, and this winter was, you know, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was colder than normal. It was wetter than normal. You know, so. I'm assuming sunspots have started picking up again slowly.
I heard that, yeah.
So, you know, things are going to start moderating a little bit, but we're probably into a pretty seriously cold phase over the next 10 years or so before things start turning back up around the other way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, frankly, I think we should be doing everything we can to be pumping as much greenhouse gases into the sky as we can get
away
with.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
That's my personal opinion, but... know, frankly, and I keep saying this to people all the time, you know, that, you know, it's much easier to cool down than it is to warm up.
Oh, boy. Big time. Much less energy intensive to do it that way, too.
Right. You know, so people don't like that. So.
Yeah, well, actually, you could practically solve that CO2 thing overnight. Everybody in America plants a tree. 300 and some odd million trees. Problem solved.
I mean,
real cheap and easy, folks.
Gaia is a big fucking planet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, you know, it doesn't take the mosquito bites too easily.
Yep.
You know, and that's pretty much what I consider us to be. You know,
yeah.
We're pretty big mosquitoes, but...
Pretty active mosquitoes, but nevertheless,
you know,
still mosquitoes.
You know, somebody says, look at all the digging we're doing into the planet. And I'm sitting there like going, you know, if you were to take every hole that we've dug in the planet and make one big hole out of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, we could fill it up with the five lakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it would not even come close to rivaling some natural made holes, like the Grand Canyon.
Like the Grand Canyon.
Or, you know.
Yeah, I said this when we were at the picnic 2 weeks ago. I said, do you understand, you know, population? I said, and exactly the density levels? You know, we're using up all the green space. And I'm like, are you crazy? You know, I've said this to you. We can take every single human being on the planet, every
mm-hmm.
single solitary one of them, and put them in Texas.
And they'd have 2,400 square feet each.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a big deal.
Exactly. Exactly. It's
arrogance.
Yes, it is.
You know, okay. Now, this is where I'm going to tweak you just a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Look, the greenies are so arrogant to believe that humanity can have such an impact on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're not. It's just arrogance to believe that. Okay? It's exactly the same kind of arrogance when people tell me we are God's chosen people. I'm sitting like going, okay, we're on a nondescript planet in a nondescript solar system in a nondescript galaxy in a nondescript corner of the universe, and you're saying we're God's chosen people? Are you crazy? That's arrogance beyond belief. So I'm sitting there like going,
Well...
And of course
when you come up with an extraterrestrial species, then okay, maybe.
I like that idea. You're so screwed when it happens.
Actually, I'm not. I'm rooting for it. In fact, I'm part of that SETI thing. My spare.
Yeah, I've been SETI.
My spare CPU cycles go to SETI.
Yeah, I did it for years.
Yeah.
But you know, Carl Sagan, I didn't like his politics any much. But you know, have you ever seen the movie Contact or read the book?
No, I have probably heard quotes out of it though.
If you take suns like our suns,
mm-hmm.
okay, if one out of a million suns is like our sun.
Mm-hmm.
And one out of a million of those suns have planets.
Mm-hmm.
And one out of a million of those suns with planets have planets in the water zone. And
mm-hmm.
one out of a million of those suns
yeah, yeah.
with planets in the water zones has life. And if one out of a million of those planets, suns that have planets in the water zone that have life, has intelligent life,
mm-hmm.
then there are billions of civilizations
yeah.
out there.
Yep.
you know, of course, they're really, really, really far away.
Oh, yeah.
So, but,
That's why I'm rooting for that faster-than-light drive.
Yeah, for anybody to believe that they don't exist.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and of course, once I paid a great deal of attention to that particular concept, I walked away from the church.
Really?
Yeah, that was exactly it. That was my epiphany. That was the thing that I went, you know, if scripture is universal, then it has to apply to those billions and billions of civilizations, and there's no reason in the world to believe that those billions and billions of civilizations bear any resemblance to ours whatsoever.
That is not to say that the people wouldn't, though.
Yeah, it is. I'm suggesting
foreign
all the civilizations, the likelihood that they bear any resemblance to us or our civilization is, you know, in such a way as that scripture would apply to them, it's not happening. It's not happening.
Okay. You're entitled to that opinion. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, and that was, and I sat there and went, for myself, and I understand, it's 100% just for me.
Yep.
For me, I went, duh. This is ridiculous. Time to walk. And I walked.
Yep.
And that was the day I walked. That was the day I walked away from the church. Haven't looked back. I wait for the day when it shows up because there's a whole lot of people that actually do have that mindset that, as long as we're alone, that mindset is perfectly rational, and as soon as we're not alone, then all hell is going to break loose.
Humankind's mind has a wonderful facility for rationalization. I am sure that someone will go through the scriptures with a fine-tooth comb and say, oh, yeah, yay, we missed this. It applies to everybody.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I actually agree with you quite well. I think if you get an opportunity to see the movie Contact, I think you should watch it. It's really good. It follows the book close enough to be worth it. I mean, I read the book long before they made a movie out of it. Some pretty interesting people in it. Jodie Foster plays the main character.
I'd probably be just as happy reading the book, but that's fine.
The book is great. I enjoyed the hell out of the book.
I might even be able to find that in the library.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be in the fiction aisle.
I'm assuming that he wrote that as a fictional account.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I
shouldn't be looking into the science section. I should be looking under fiction.
And looking under fiction?
Yeah.
However, his main character, the Jodie Foster character, is loosely premised on an actual woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
She is a radio astronomer.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty active in the SETI project and other things. But it's loosely fashioned upon her. And it is, a first contact issue. So it's rather interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
So,
I'm always fascinated by that kind of stuff.
We got a do you see Arkansas Traveler's comment on Twitter?
No, I haven't. I've been away from the computer.
Okay. Good comment from him, and then I got a direct one. Wow, the closing comment was just beautifully stated. Glad I arose from the flu bed to hear the show tonight. Was worth hearing. Final comment.
Huh. That must have been... Well, I don't know who that was. Who was it?
Just Me Pammy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I knew that she'd been sick, but... good practice for prime time, I'm sure, Traveler. Jeez. Oh, man.
We're going. This is our prime time, and I'm perfectly happy with it.
Yeah, me too. God, who wants to get a big head and figure out that, oh, God, I have become another seer and a pundit?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Matter of fact, when I started off my typing out the thing,
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I'm a pretty good hack.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start out that way. You know.
Yeah, really.
But,
oh, God.
Anyways,
how many people did we have?
Oh, let's go find out. Last week we only had 10 archives, but we had 9 live.
Mm-hmm.
And today, drum roll, please.
Drum roll.
Ooh, 11 live.
Whoa. Oh, well, isn't this interesting? 50% more watched the Jackson Memorial than the inauguration. That's on Drudge Report.
Hey, he's dead. Everybody that couldn't continue to say they were friends of Michael Jackson because everybody would think that they were supporting a pedophile.
Right.
Can now that he's dead, can come back out of the woodwork and say, we supported Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah, Lou, we were there.
Even though they wouldn't take his phone calls and ignored him in person for the last 15 years.
Exactly.
I know you're sorry.
Don't you just love it?
So.
Oh, God.
All right.
Okay, kiddo. Well.
Thank you. Good show.
You betcha. And we will talk to you later.
Laters.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.